Amen. We have been talking to you over the last number of Wednesdays, and we've got to finish this tonight, so we're going to really get after it. If you have not been with us over the last number of Wednesdays, then I encourage you to get the CD so that you can check up, because I want you to really see the whole thing. This was designed as a four-part series, really five-part, and I shortened it down to four. But it was designed as a four-part series and not, you know, meant to have a standalone session. So I really encourage you, if you have not been here the last number of Wednesdays, check out the last three Wednesdays. Get those CDs so that you can catch up. Because if you've been here any length of time, we're all about not talking you into something. We want God's Word to show you what's going on. If I can talk you into something, then Ryan can come along and talk you out. If I can talk you out of something, then Ryan can come along and talk you in. Particularly with those big guns like that, he may be able to talk you into just doing about anything. I'm excited about that. Ryan's going to be one of my pastoral attendants, you know, and I'm so excited. All my pastoral attendants are all either like martial artists or professional boxers or big dudes like that. I feel so safe. Except for Keith Trillian. He's also a pastoral usher. That day, I'm kind of on my own that day. I come in that day, you know, I got to be ready for anything. Yeah. Listen, he's right now working with the teenagers. I know you're not going to say anything to him. Yeah, right. Guys, I'm just a little cavey, just a little. Don't lose my volume, but just a little tiny little bit cavey, but it's pretty good. Now, don't you tell Keith Trillian that. I know you won't, because you're so sweet and so honest and so kind. Listen, he'll know before he leaves tonight. There'll be 57 people. This is the body of Christ. Are you kidding? There'll be 57 people that'll tell him that. But you know what? I don't need protection. Today I did 27 wide grip pull-ups in a row without stopping. 27. I'm 46. No, there's not. No one can do that. Raise your hand if you can do that. See what I'm talking about? No, raise your hand if. Yeah, okay. There's one liar, two liars. All right. Yeah. Amen. You ready? Yeah. You sure? Yeah. I already prayed. Yeah. Was it good? Was the prayer good? Okay. Now, we're going to talk to you tonight about the infilling. Are you hungry for more? The infilling. Are you hungry for more? That's a real big question as we begin this. Are you really hungry for more of the Lord? Are you hungry for more of the Lord? Amen. Are you hungry for His Word? Are you hungry for His Spirit? That's really the issue here. And that's what we've been talking about over the last number of Wednesdays. Remember our ground rule, John 13:35. The Bible says, they'll know us by our love and our love one to another, right? That's how Jesus said that people would know His disciples, by how we treat one another. Not by our charisma, not by our sense of humor, not by our gifts, not by, you know, our sense of humor, on and on and on, but how do we treat one another? Do we walk in love? So we're going to walk out of this session continuing to walk in love. Isn't that true? How many know you don't really know somebody till you disagree with that somebody? How many know you need to learn how to disagree agreeably? Isn't that true? Boy, that's true. So we're going to talk to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and we've been walking through the scriptures on that line upon line, precept upon precept, is about as thorough as I've ever seen it done. And again, I want both sides of the fence, because this church has all denominational backgrounds that are present, which is so fun. Wherever you come from, if you're over here and you're filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues, I don't want you to have an air of superiority about you. Are you with me now? Well, I do and they don't, and, you know, bless their little hearts. And if you're over here and you come from a traditional background, more of a denominational background, maybe this is something new to you, I don't want you to look down your nose and think religious thoughts. Let's stay right here in the middle. Walk in love. Remember that there's no such thing as in heaven as a Baptist section or a Presbyterian section or a Pentecostal section or a Charismatic section or a Catholic section. There's only non-smoking sections. You know, true. We're gonna have to live with each other for eternity as the body of Christ. If you've got Jesus in your heart, you might as well learn how to get along. And I'm telling you, it's so fun because it's gonna take all of eternity to straighten out all of our crazy doctrine. Just to get us to agree on something. Isn't that true? You know, in one way, you know, it's going to take a long time to do that, eternity to straighten this all out. But in another way, some of it will be shortened. You know, you probably go to one class and Jesus will say, Pastor Jim was right. And then you'll be dismissed. Well, listen, you know, I want you to understand something. I'm not a politician. And so I don't check the polls and find out what everybody thinks and on and on and on. I check the Bible. And I check it, and I study it, and I meditate on it, and then I come to conclusion after study and after meditation and after walking through balances, I don't just kind of, you know, go like this and find out what I believe. I study the Word of God and find out what I believe, and then I'm strong about it. Amen. Wouldn't it be bad if I just came in here every Sunday, every Wednesday, and went, I don't know. What do you think, Ken? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. What do you think, Doc? I don't know. Wouldn't that be bad? And how many know Madonna believes what she believes? How many know it's messed up, but she's strong about what she believes? I just want to throw this out while I'm passing by. You know, Madonna, I'm sorry. Like a virgin, you either is or you ain't. Don't write me any letters now. If you are related to Madonna, then you can write me a letter. I'll receive that. That'd be fine. But if you're not, forget it. We talked to you last time about the various objections that people have to the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And we won't show you the videos. Let me give you those real quick. First objection, isn't tongues translating the Bible into other languages? That's the first objection that our good denominational brothers give, and no offense to anybody, but boy, that's really stretching the scripture. First, we took a look at Mark chapter 16, where we found Jesus' great commission, right? His last words. How many of you, someone's last words are important? Isn't that true? You know, if someone is on their deathbed or whatever, they're about to leave, and they say, come here, come a little closer. Come here. Look, he's disconcerted right now. He's like, no, man, no, man. Your mouthwash ain't making it. You know, that's not this. He's my man. No, you know, how many know someone's last words are important? These are Jesus' last words. We know him as the Great Commission. And he said, go ye. Everybody say, go ye. Now, unfortunately, the body of Christ thinks that ye is a little Chinese guy that owns a laundromat. We think, yeah, ye need to get everybody saved. Well, I stay here in my little church and stay where it's safe. How many know ye means you and ye means me? Say it with me. Say, ye is me.
Ye is me.
And I don't even own a laundromat. You realize, go ye into all the world and preach. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. You know, we think in terms of going into all the world and we have to preach like, I met a man down Galilee way. His name was Jesus. Jesus. So you right away, I can't do that, man. And you can't even do that, Pastor Jim. That's really bad. No. Preach in the Greek, me. Man, I feel it coming on me. Preach in the Greek language. I could do it too, man. I can have church. I could get you hooping. But how many know you don't need inspiration, you need information? It's true, man. People get so emotionally charged, but we need information to get us through the week. But the word preach in the Greek is the Greek word keruxon that means proclaim. Everybody in here should be a proclaimer of the gospel. Everybody. Not you. It doesn't mean you have to be a pastor. You proclaim the gospel. The gospel means good news. Good news is that Jesus has already taken care of the sin issue, and he's not mad at you. He's not going into all the world and beating people over the head with get right or get left, or turn or burn. Are you with me now? It's that Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life, man. He's taking care of your sin, and all you have to do is receive him by faith and receive all that grace. And everybody should be a proclaimer. And how many know salvation is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit? It's not a natural thing. And he says, go into all the world, and he says, preach the gospel, and he says, and cast out devils. How many know casting out devils is a supernatural thing? It's not, you know, getting rid of your tuna cans with the devil on it. It's not a natural thing, right? And then he said, and lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How many know that's not a natural thing? You know, we got one doctor here, and then we got another doctor working back here with your kids, and we got a doctor right over here, and we got a whole bunch of nurses. There's a nurse right there. If you're a nurse, raise your hand. Yeah, this is the hardest church to die in the whole world. I'm telling you right now. Doctor, 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 nurse, nurse, nurse. And, you know, they've been trained. But how many are either not a doctor or not a nurse? Wow. That's a lot of incompetent people. Me too. Aren't you glad he didn't say, go on the world, all the world, lay hands on the sick and recover. If you're a doctor, if you're a nurse. He's talking to everybody. He's not talking about some natural thing. Therefore, it's a supernatural thing. He says, and if it take up serpents or drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt him. Now, don't be foolish. If you're stupid enough to take up a snake, you know, in some church service somewhere and get bit, then you're stupid enough to die. That's deep, isn't it? Write that down. Aren't you writing that down? That's deep stuff. You know, you see these nuts over here in backward land, you know, doing crazy things like that, and that's what they are. They're nuts. They're taking something way, way, way out of context. I don't mean that offensively. I guess nuts is pretty offensive, so. But they're nuts. You got to call a nut. That's nuts. And you should stay a million miles away from things. That's talking about if you inadvertently drank something that would harm you, or you inadvertently, like Paul, when the viper came out in Acts 28 and latched his attached to him, and he shook it off into the fire, if you inadvertently run across something like that, then God will protect you. Are you with me now? Amen. You know, I've been all over the, you know, not in every country, but in a number of different countries preaching. And I've eaten things that I didn't know what in the world it was. It was mystery meat. I know, and I didn't ask. I didn't want to know. They served me this one thing in Guatemala, and I did not know it was either rabbit or it was dog. You look at you. It's not your dog. It wasn't your dog. It's a rabbit. And so I didn't even ask. I didn't ask if this was Fido or if this was Peter Cottontail. I don't. So I just prayed over and I blessed it, and man, it went down rough. So it must have been dog. This is really a tougher crowd than I thought. It really was. I really did. I don't know what it was. It was mystery meat, so I just prayed over it. So see, I believe God. And now we're in this country, and so we make choices. And we have a lot of choices, and we should make some good ones. But you go to other countries, and you don't know what it is. That's all they have. Mike and Cookie will tell you. It's all they have. So you pray over it, and if it happens to be undercooked or whatever, you should believe God, and God will protect you. Amen. That's what he's talking about. How many know that's supernatural? Well, if all of that stuff is supernatural, it would be completely illogical, irrational, and not good scholarship to sit there and say that this one tongues is translating the Bible into other languages. That's just not even good scholarship, and that's being dishonest with the Scripture. And it's stretching it way, way, way to make it fit a logical thought process or a thought process in your mind that you can get your mind around. But you guys got to understand, God is not always rational. He is supernatural. He's an interesting fellow. He says, you got to give. That's irrational. If you want to go to the top, you got to go to the bottom. That's irrational. If you want to be great, you got to serve. That's irrational. So at some point, as smart as you may be, or as trained as you may be, or as much educated as you may be, you're going to have to understand that God is not an intellect. He is a spirit. And I'm no moron. I consider myself blessed. I'm a relatively smart individual. I'm not a moron, and I'm not one of these, kind of guys. But I'm telling you right now, God is not an intellect. And to try to understand him intellectually, you will miss him a million miles. John 4:24, he is a spirit. And at some point, you can't just keep him in this nice little tidy box that makes you feel okay with him. I've learned in 24 years of ministry that this very fact, and I think this is important, there is one God, and I am not him. Amen. So at some point, have you learned that as well? Yeah. At some point, you've got to go, okay, if I can see it in your word, and I'm not talking about foolish stuff. If it's outside God's word, I don't want anything to do with it. I see a lot of stuff recently here in the body of Christ that's been going on that I just don't see in the Word of God, and I don't want anything to do with it. You know me. You know this church. If it's in the Word and if it's irrational, I want it. But if it's outside the Word, that's too deep for me. Don't want nothing to do with it. So can you see the balance? Amen. Look at our second objection. Doesn't tongues pass away with the completion of the Bible? We talked about from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, where it talks about that in that day knowledge will pass away. How many realize knowledge hasn't passed away? Therefore, tongues hasn't passed away. That will pass away, the need for tongues, when that which is perfect is come. And our denominational brothers say that's the Bible. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that right now we see through a glass darkly, but then we'll see face to face. You don't see face to face with a book. You see face to face with a person. So it can't be talking about when the Bible has come. It must be talking about when Jesus Christ is come. So when he comes in his return, then we will have absolutely no need for speaking in tongues, because our body will be glorified. We will no longer have sinful flesh. It won't be any challenge to our mind. We'll have direct spirit-to-spirit communication, just like Adam did with Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, in the cool of the day as he walked in the garden. The infilling. Are you hungry for more? We talked to you a number of things over the last number of Wednesdays. We began 5 interesting items of the infilling. Number one, we gave you statistics on the Holy Spirit, and we showed you just how normal people that are filled with the Spirit are by the year, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but you have it from your past notes. Within about 30 years, there will be the vast majority of Christians will be born again, Spirit-filled, and speak in tongues. It's not some isolated phenomenon like the media makes it, or some sort of toothless people that are handling snakes and so forth and so on. I realize that there's all kinds of bizarre behavior in the body of Christ, and I realize there's all kinds of ditches in the body of Christ, but that doesn't mean that you have to get in one. This church is all about balance. We're not going to get you over here on the left. We're not going to get you here on the right. We're going to be right down here in the middle, and we're going to walk in love and walk in character and walk in integrity and walk together. But I'm not going to be afraid to talk to you about subject matters that the Bible is very clear about, like racism, for one. I'm not going to be afraid of that. But this is the South, you know, aren't you? Listen, I realize where I am. I've been here for quite some time. But we have to address subject matters that are sometimes a little bit challenging to us, but they are in the Bible, because a true pastor cares more about you and what is good for you than what you think about him. A hireling cares about what you think about him. I care about you and what is good for you. So many, a good mom or a good dad, how many are a mom or dad? How many know you got to give your kid what he needs, not what he wants? You know that's true. Dear me, if you got kids that are in you, all they want is sugar and that's all they want, and pizza and sugar and blah and all this kind of stuff. And I'm telling you right now, you got to give them what they need. My kid from the get-go has been eating broccoli, and he loves broccoli. My kid loves broccoli. Most kids hate broccoli because they grew up on, you know, sugar boogers and all that stuff, you know, whatever the latest cereal is or whatever. You know, no, man. My kid loves broccoli because I gave him broccoli from the get-go, and you know why? He's developed a taste for it, because broccoli is what he needs. My kid is the most regular kid in this church. Amen. So we gave you statistics on the Holy Spirit. Then we talked to you, number two, about the difference between salvation and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And let me make it again very clear. How many in here are born again child of God? And if you're not, you don't have to leave tonight without being born again. If you're a born again child of God, I want to make it very clear. You have the Spirit. And even though there are some Pentecostal charismatic people that will tell you that they don't understand the Bible, you have the Spirit. If you're born again child of God, you have the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're not that, you got to get that down pat. But that's not the question tonight. It's not the question if you're born again child of God, if you have the Spirit. You do. But does the Spirit have you? That's the question tonight. Let's talk about it. Very quick, I got a review. Number one, we talked about the well and the river. And again, I don't have any time to go over all these things. I encourage you to check out the CD. Number two, the disciples breathed on them. They're born again in John 20:22. They're filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues in Acts 2:4. Number three, Simon the sorcerer, we showed that whole thing down in Samaria. Number four, Paul the Apostle had the Damascus Road experience, and then you find in 1 Corinthians 14, 18, he spoke in tongues more than all of the people in the church of Corinth. Number five, the Gentiles, when they were born again, and then they were filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 10. Number six, the Ephesians, they were born again, they were disciples, and then they were filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 19. Number seven, three elements of any baptism, don't have time to talk about that and review it. Number eight, Jesus, obviously he didn't speak in tongues, he didn't need to, he had no sinful flesh to deal with, but he was righteous when he was 7 months old, was he not? 7 years old, was he not? 17, was he not? 27, was he not? But yet he did not do one miracle until he was baptized with the Spirit at age 30. So if he needed it, you and I need it. And then number nine, check it out, Titus. And then number 10, we talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan, where he was filled with oil and wine, a type and a shadow of the new birth and the baptism. And then the differences between the two we covered last time, the new birth, number one is eternal. The infilling is temporal. It's while you are here on this earth, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I mean, I just got the best kick out of this story. This is so great. Acts 1 and verse 8 says that you, after the Holy Spirit comes on you, you shall receive power to be my witness here on this earth, Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Where's the Voilman? Where'd they go? Where's Stephen? There's the Voilman. This is the greatest story. Steve's our drummer up there. They just got, Anthony just led both of those guys to the infilling of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And the coolest thing was, then, and I'm not sure of the details exactly, like a day or two after, he gets on the phone, Steve gets on the phone and leads brother and sister-in-law to Jesus Christ. Now that's the purpose of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, so that you have power to be a witness. It's not so we can sit over here in the corner and have the speaking in tongues club and look down all on our nose on everybody else. You understand that? It's to be a witness. When you're filled with that power and you speak in tongues, that's the power to be a witness. That's what it's all about. It's not so it's just a bizarre land. It's so that you can do exactly what they did right there. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. The word witness in the Greek is the Greek of martyria. Martyria means one that produces evidence. And how many know we need to produce evidence that Jesus is alive? In our character, in our power, in our victory. They need to see your life and my life, and not a life of perfection, but they see, wow, they see Sue, and they go, wow, there's evidence that Jesus is alive. Amen. Isn't that true? Here's a great revelation, and I shared this with you last time. How many realize that everybody in heaven is saved? Yeah. Have you realized that? So how many know you won't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit there because they're all saved? We are filled to be a witness. Okay, look at number two. Check it out. Number two, the new birth is in you. The infilling is upon you. Number three, the new birth brings salvation. The infilling prepares you for service. Number four, new birth prepares you for heaven. The infilling prepares you for earth. How many know there's no enemies in heaven? And you, have you figured that one out too? No enemies whatsoever in heaven. How many know heaven's going to be all right? Yes, it's going to be awesome. It's just going to be great. There are no enemies, no devil, no flesh, no sinful flesh, no disco. Yeah. How many know that disco will be in hell? That's what makes hell hell. They'll be trying down there going, I want to stay alive, stay alive. No, you're in hell, man. You're going to disco inferno, baby. Oh, come on, you might as well smile. Some of you want so badly to laugh, but you're like, oh, I'm in church, I better be holy. So you can still be holy and laugh, particularly at that. That was very funny. Thank you, Jerry, thank you very much. And then infilling prepares you for here on this earth. Number five, check it out. The new birth gives you the character, the fruit of the Spirit that begins to develop in your life. The infilling is for witnessing, just like Steve and Heather Voilman. Number six, the new birth is permanent. The infilling is a refilling. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. And the Greek tense reads, be ye being filled. It is a continual, constant, not that you need to get filled over and over and over again, but it is kind of like, I compare it to, my wife makes a homemade salad dressing. And so what she does is she puts some olive oil in there and she puts some spices and things and some old spice in there and all this, I can't do the Old Spice song. Never mind. I got up there too high for me. And so she, and what she does is you got to shake it around and stir it up. And that's what being filled means. It's not that you need to be filled over and over and over again, but you need to stir up what you already have. Check it out. Look at number 7. The new birth, no immediate outward manifestation. You know, how many know when you got born again, you didn't turn into Billy Graham overnight? How many still are not Billy Graham? How many are Graham crackers? Yeah, okay. And infilling, the outward manifestation of tongues, you find that in every single biblical case. You can make a total teaching doctrine out of that. And then number 8, the new birth is a doorway to the fruit. The infilling is a doorway to the gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians 12. Number 9, well, that is, that's it. That's great. Okay, that was good stuff. I like that. All right. Now, we talked to you last time about the various objections that people have to the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and we won't show you the videos. Let me give you those real quick. First objection, isn't tongues translating the Bible into other languages? That's the first objection that our good denominational brothers give, and no offense to anybody, but boy, that's really stretching the scripture. First, we took a look at Mark chapter 16, where we found Jesus' great commission, right? His last words. How many of you, someone's last words are important. Isn't that true? You know, if someone is on their deathbed or whatever, they're about to leave, and they say, come here, come here, come a little closer. Come here. Look, he's disconcerted right now. He's like, no, man. Your mouthwash ain't making it. You know, that's not this. He's my man. No, you know, how many know someone's last words are important? These are Jesus' last words. We know him as the Great Commission. And he said, go ye. Everybody say, go ye. Now, unfortunately, the body of Christ thinks that ye is a little Chinese guy that owns a laundromat. We think, yeah, ye need to get everybody saved. Well, I stay here in my little church and stay where it's safe. How many know ye means you and ye means me? Say it with me. Say, ye is me.
Ye is me.
And I don't even own a laundromat. You realize, go ye into all the world and preach. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. You know, we think in terms of going into all the world, and we have to preach like, I met a man down Galilee way. His name was Jesus. Jesus. So you right away, I can't do that, man. And you can't even do that, Pastor Jim. That's really bad. No. Preach in the Greek, me. Man, I feel it coming on me. Preach in the Greek language. Ha! I could do it too, man. I can have church. I could get you hooping. But how many know you don't need inspiration, you need information? It's true, man. People get so emotionally charged, but we need information to get us through the week. But the word preach in the Greek is the Greek word keruxon, that means proclaim. Everybody in here should be a proclaimer of the gospel. Everybody. Not you. It doesn't mean you have to be a pastor. You proclaim the gospel. The gospel means good news. Good news is that Jesus has already taken care of the sin issue, and he's not mad at you. He's not going into all the world and beating people over the head with get right or get left, or turn or burn. Are you with me now? It's that Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life, man. He's taking care of your sin, and all you have to do is receive him by faith and receive all the grace. And everybody should be a proclaimer. And how many know salvation is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit? It's not a natural thing. And then he says, go into all the world, and he says, preach the gospel, and he says, and cast out devils. How many know casting out devils is a supernatural thing? It's not, you know, getting rid of your tuna cans with the devil on it. It's not a natural thing, right? And then he said, and lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How many know that's not a natural thing? You know, we got one doctor here, and then we got another doctor working back here with your kids, and we got a doctor right over here, and we got a whole bunch of nurses. There's a nurse right there. If you're a nurse, raise your hand. Yeah, this is the hardest church to die in the whole world. I'm telling you right now, doctor, nurse, and you know they've been trained, but how many are either not a doctor or not a nurse? Wow, that's a lot of incompetent people. Me too. Aren't you glad he didn't say, go on the world, all the world, lay hands on the sick and recover, if you're a doctor or if you're a nurse? He's talking to everybody. He's not talking about some natural thing. Therefore, it's a supernatural thing. He says, and if it take up serpents or drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt him. Now, don't be foolish. If you're stupid enough to take up a snake, you know, in some church service somewhere and get bit, then you're stupid enough to die. That's deep, isn't it? Write that down. Why aren't you writing that down? That's deep stuff. You know, you see these nuts over here in backward land, you know, doing crazy things like that, and that's what they are. They're nuts. They're taking something way, way, way out of context. I don't mean that offensively. I guess nuts is pretty offensive, so, but they're nuts. You got to call a nut. That's nuts. And you should stay a million miles away from things. That's talking about if you inadvertently drank something that would harm you, or you inadvertently, like Paul, when the viper came out in Acts 28 and latched his attached to him, and he shook it off into the fire, if you inadvertently run across something like that, then God will protect you. Are you with me now? Amen. You know, I've been to all over the, you know, not, I mean, not in every country, but in a number of different countries preaching. And I've eaten things that I didn't know what in the world it was. It was mystery meat. I had no, and I didn't ask. I didn't want to know. This one, they'd served me this one thing in Guatemala, and I did not know it was between either, it was either rabbit or it was dog. You look at you, ew, it's not your dog. It wasn't your dog. It's a rabbit, and so I didn't even ask. I didn't ask if this was Fido or if this was Peter Cottontail. I don't. So I just prayed over and I blessed it, and man, it went down rough. So it must have been dog. This is really a tougher crowd than I thought. It really was. I really did. I don't know what it was. It was mystery meat, so I just prayed over it. So see, I believe God. And now we're in this country, and so we make choices. And we have a lot of choices, and we should make some good ones. But you go to other countries, and you don't know what it is. That's all they have. Mike and Cookie will tell you. It's all they have. So you pray over it, and it happens. If it happens to be undercooked or whatever, you should believe God, and God will protect you. Amen. That's what he's talking about. How many know that's supernatural? Well, if all of that stuff is supernatural, it would be completely illogical, irrational, and not good scholarship to sit there and say that this one tongues is translating the Bible into other languages. That's just not even good scholarship, and that's being dishonest with the Scripture. And it's stretching it way, way, way to make it fit a logical thought process or a thought process in your mind that you can get your mind around. But you guys got to understand, God is not always rational. He is supernatural. He's an interesting fellow. He says, if you want to get, you got to give. That's irrational. If you want to go to the top, you got to go to the bottom. That's irrational. If you want to be great, you got to serve. That's irrational. So at some point, as smart as you may be, or as trained as you may be, or as much educated as you may be, you're going to have to understand that God is not an intellect. He is a spirit. And I'm no moron. I consider myself blessed. I'm a relatively smart individual. I'm not a moron, and I'm not one of these, kind of guys. But I'm telling you right now, God is not an intellect. And to try to understand him intellectually, you will miss him a million miles. John 4:24, he is a spirit. And at some point, you can't just keep him in this nice little tidy box that makes you feel okay with him. I've learned in 24 years of ministry that this very fact, and I think this is important, there is one God, and I am not him. Amen. So at some point, have you learned that as well? Yeah. At some point, you've got to go, okay, if I can see it in your word, and I'm not talking about foolish stuff. If it's outside God's word, I don't want anything to do with it. I see a lot of stuff recently here in the body of Christ that's been going on that I just don't see in the Word of God, and I don't want anything to do with it. You know me. You know this church. If it's in the Word and if it's irrational, I want it. But if it's outside the Word, that's too deep for me. Don't want nothing to do with it. So can you see the balance? Amen. Look at our second objection. Doesn't tongues pass away with the completion of the Bible? We talked about from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, where it talks about that in that day knowledge will pass away. How many realize knowledge hasn't passed away? Therefore, tongues hasn't passed away. That will pass away, the need for tongues, when that which is perfect is come. And our denominational brothers say that's the Bible. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that right now we see through a glass darkly, but then we'll see face to face. You don't see face to face with the book. You see face to face with a person. So it can't be talking about when the Bible has come. It must be talking about when Jesus Christ is come. So when he comes in his return, then we will have absolutely no need for speaking in tongues, because our body will be glorified. We will no longer have sinful flesh. It won't be any challenge to our mind. We'll have direct spirit-to-spirit communication, just like Adam did with Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, in the cool of the day as he walked in the garden. Does that make sense? All right, woo! Here we go, new territory. Our next objection, we got a video objection.
You know, Pastor Jim, speaking in tongues, it's just for some. It's not for everybody.
So, speaking in tongues, isn't it for a few and not for all? That's a great objection, and I'm glad you asked that. Turn in your Bible really quickly to 1 Corinthians 12. And again, please stay open to these things. Don't be offended or bothered. Just stay in love. And hey, man, starting after this, we're going to be right on a series on Wednesday night on marriage. So there you go. That won't offend anybody but people that have a bad marriage. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll jump over there. If you don't have your Bible, check up on the screen, 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to look at verse 28 tonight, 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm sorry, I wish I had all kinds of time. 1 Corinthians 12, when you got it, say, I got it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, my man, got it, look at here. And God has set some in the church, everybody say in the church. So what's the context? How many know you interpret Scripture in the immediate context and then context of the whole? Isn't that true? And people that take these little verses and they pull them out of context, they will always lead you astray. You've got to take Scripture in light of the context, in light of the whole. So what is the context? And God has said somewhere?
In the church.
In the church. So the context, and mark this in your thinking, is in the church. Okay? That's what he's talking about. In the church. God has said some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Verse 29. Are all apostles? What's the answer? No. Are all prophets? I mean, no, this is a nonprofit church. Okay. Thank you very much. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Next verse. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. So right there, our good brothers and sisters, they don't mean anything by it. They'll say, see, you know, it's not everybody speaks with tongues. It's for a select few. But remember what is being talked about there. The context is in the church. This is not talking about for the believer. This is talking, obviously, because of the prophet and the teacher and the apostle and the working of miracles and the governments and the helps. Context is in the context of the local church. So obviously, in the local church, if everybody was a prophet and everybody had the gift of healing and everybody spoke in tongues, how many know it would be a zoo? And pretty much that's what the Church of Corinth looked like. And that's what Paul was addressing. And he was saying, guys, we got to get some godly order here. 1 Corinthians 14:40, the Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. Does that make sense? Now, the Corinthians were not immature because of the gifts and because of speaking in tongues. They were immature in spite of it. 1 Corinthians 3 tells you why they were immature. They were immature because they were divisive, they had divisions, and they were carnal. That's why they were immature. Does that make sense? So the context, ladies and gentlemen, is not for every believer. The context is in the church. And therefore, does all that happen in the church? No, it'd be a zoo. But turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Is this helping anybody? Is this interesting to anybody? Good, because I'm just making it up as I go. Fantastic. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You can tell we honestly know what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14, let's take a look at verse 2. Watch this now. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. However, watch this phrase, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, the word mysteries there in the Greek is a Greek word mysterion. It's a transliteration there. Mysterion, we hear mystery, and we hear in our English understanding, we think in terms of, okay, who done it? You know, it was the butler that used the candlestick in the parlor room or whatever, and we tried to figure this thing out. The Greek word mysterion is not something hidden from you, it's something hidden for you. Big difference. That makes sense? Notice the phrase, when we speak in tongues, we pray in the Spirit. So remember that phrase, in the Spirit. And we're not speaking unto men, we're speaking unto God. There's a gift of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians 12 that come as the Spirit wills. That is from God, through man, to man. This is not, obviously not talking about that, because you're speaking unto God. This is from man to God. Total different thing. Now, I'm spitting all over Pastor Dave. Oh, Jim, first row, you got to bring an umbrella. Hallelujah. Now, remember that phrase, ever say, in the Spirit. Now turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. A little Bible hopping here. How many Bible hops? Better bar hopping. Oh, man, how are we going to finish this series? Oh, this is going to be, we're going to really have to fly. You ready? Ephesians chapter 6. I may take it. How many will give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 45. That's an old preacher trick. It's been around for a long time, but it still works. Ephesians chapter 6, and let's jump in verse 14. Ephesians 6, verse 14. They need a verse back there. It's like, give me a verse. Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. How many know this is the armor of God? Yes. How many know the armor of God is for every Christian, yes, not for a select few? True? Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18. Watch this now. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. What's it say?
In the Spirit.
Ever say in the Spirit? In the Spirit. Same phrase we found in 1 Corinthians 14:2. Who wrote 1 Corinthians? Who wrote Ephesians? How many know he knows what the phrase in the Spirit means? Supplication in the Spirit. The Roman soldier had all of his regalia and all of the armor and so forth and so on. But you know that they also had a lance. You know what a lance is? Lance is kind of, you know, like a thing. It's like a elongated spear kind of a thing. For all you people from New Jersey. Oh, gosh. Okay, never mind. Okay. Now, what would they use a lance for? Lance was for long-distance fighting. Everything else, the sword, the shield, that was hand-to-hand close combat. You take a lance, and you throw that thing. There's dust and wind in the back, and whoosh, you throw that way over there before he gets anywhere near you. How many know that's an important thing to have? Because it's for someone far away. And when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, particularly for another person, you are throwing that lance far away. They can be in New Jersey. They can be in California. They don't have to be in your presence. And you can pray for somebody from far away. Can you see that? How many know the armor of God is for every believer? Then if the armor of God is for every believer, praying in the Spirit is for every believer. Look at Jude. Everybody say, hey, Jude. How many carnal people understood that? I know something about your background. And frankly, I'd like to hold your hand. How many know your pastor wasn't always saved? Jude, verse 20. Only one chapter. Jude, verse 20. I got to give my men scriptures back there. It's like, which one? Which chapter? Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, watch this now, praying in the Holy Ghost, or praying in the Spirit, same thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. Notice it says, but you, beloved, a few of you, the select few, the chosen few, the anointed few, occasionally a few, the ecstatic few, but you, beloved, all Christians, all believers, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So, is praying for tongues for every believer that desires it? Yeah, you can see that very clearly. Now, is this helping anybody? Let's take a look at our next objection. Again, don't get offended, don't get bothered. Everybody love each other. Look at our next objection.
Now, Pastor Jim, tongues was originally set forth so different cultures could understand.
Garcia, look how mean Garcia looked at. That was just mean. Very mean. Okay, now let's talk about that. Let me put that up, and I want to break that down into everyday language. Isn't tongues just originally used to present the gospel? That's what I hear a lot. You know, in Acts chapter 2, they had all the people there for Pentecost, and there were people from all over the place. And so wasn't it just used to present there and to preach the gospel originally and so forth? That's the argument that they share. Let me share some things that I think will help you a lot. Number one, if it was used to present the gospel and to preach the gospel originally, do you realize that nobody got saved until they preached the gospel in understandable language? You realize that? It didn't until Peter stood up in Acts 2:14 and began to preach in understandable language, nobody got saved. So that can't be. Secondly, you got to understand something. Flip over to Acts chapter 2. Nobody got saved until Peter preached in the common language of the day, and then people got saved. So it wasn't to present the gospel. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Bless my guys' hearts. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled, this is Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Look at verse 8. Well, go ahead. Jump back into verse 5. Jump back into verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, so they know I'm taking it out of context. Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven, verse 6. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, no one was saved at this point until Peter preached the gospel in Acts 2 and verse 14. Acts 2, 4, the Bible says they spoke in tongues. That is the Greek word glossa or glossolalia. It means the tongues of men or the tongues of angels. Can be an understandable language, but most of the time it is a tongue of angel and is not understood by our intellect. But now what you find here is every man heard them speak in their own language. That word language there in the Greek is the Greek word dialectos. Dialectos is where we get our English word dialect from. So what is he saying? In the upper room, when there was the 120 and they were filled with the Spirit, they spoke in glossolalia, the tongues of angels. Here, when they came out, they were speaking in dialectos, a completely different word, language that people could understand. Does that make sense? It's to get the attention of the people just for that moment. All right, is this helping anybody anywhere? Hope these are at least talking to you as far as the objections are concerned. And then, lastly, the last objection, check this out.
Do it again. Pastor Jim, isn't speaking in tongues simply irrational?
Isn't speaking in tongues simply irrational? And my answer to that is absolutely yes. Thank you for your enthusiasm. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14, the Bible clearly says that when you pray in tongues, your understanding is unfruitful. In other words, your intellect is unfruitful. And that's, how many know that's one of the greatest things that could ever happen, is to get your intellect out of the way. It is unfruitful. And I know some of you guys, you pride yourself because you're very smart and you're very educated. And listen, I'm telling you right now, that's a wonderful thing. God gave you your education. God gave you your smarts. Hallelujah. But do not allow your smarts or your education to get in the way of what God wants to bless you with. Yes, it is irrational. But as I said before, it is also irrational. If you want to be great, you got to serve. The Bible says these are they that turn the world upside down in the book of Acts. Man, when you start walking with Jesus, you know, up is down and it just completely turns everything around. Absolutely, it's irrational because your understanding is unfruitful. At some point, when are we going to take God out of our man-made box? Let me further support this. This will help some of you intellectuals, some of you educated folks, you know, not like me. This will help you. In 2006, they did a study. Check this out. Put that article. 2006, they did a study. This is in USA Today. The University of Pennsylvania study did a literal physical study on people that spoke in tongues. And they found, doctors, you'll be interested in this, they found physiologically that the area of the brain usually associated with language skills slips into low gear when someone talks in tongues. In other words, science proved what 1 Corinthians 14, 14 says. Amen. Is that amazing? We think we're so smart in science and all the leaps and bounds that we've got in science, and I thank God for that. But man, science is just now starting to catch up with the Bible. Isn't that awesome? So there's a physiological, you know, people are trying to read that. There's a physiological scientific proof of 1 Corinthians 14:14 that yes, it is irrational. And the rational part of our brain normally associated with language when I'm talking to you, which some of you might not always think is working. When I'm talking to you, when I speak in tongues or you speak in tongues, that part of the brain slips into low gear and another part takes over. Isn't that amazing? Physiological, scientific, the USA Today paper. Interesting. Everybody say, Now, let's talk very quickly. Number four, our fourth characteristic of the infilling, the benefits of speaking in tongues, and we're going to have to go pretty quick here, gang. Benefits of speaking in tongues. Why do this? What's in it for me? How will this help? And let me say up front, man, you guys, I love Jesus so much, and this has revolutionized my Christian walk, revolutionized my prayer life. I don't know what I would do without the ability to pray in tongues. Number one, check it out. It's the initial sign of the infilling. We talked about that. These are all the proofs. We talked about other proofs as well. Number two, it is your heavenly language. Remember I talked, 1 Corinthians 13 says that though I speak in the tongues of men or the tongue of angels, it is your heavenly language. It is the language of your hometown. Isn't that a cool thing? Now, you know, understand, I'm originally from up north, from Akron, Ohio. And so when I first came down to, a long time ago, but when I first came down to Tennessee, I had a hard time understanding the hometown language. Like to this day, I got little Teresa Glasscox and she'll say vehicle. I call it a vehicle. And she's vehicle. And I'll say, what'd you say? He's like that comedian. You ever seen that guy, hickory? You know, hickory. You know, vehicle. And she'll say, theater. You know, I said, what is that? And then Ken will go, that's how she'll be very defensive of his wife. You know, he won't stand up either. And very defensive. And he'll say, that's how we talk down here, Pastor, you stupid Yankee. You know. So how many know where, depending on where your hometown is, you know, you have a different kind of a deal. I got guys that I fish with, and I mean, I don't, sometimes it's embarrassing to me because I don't know what they're saying. And I'm not trying to be offensive, I just don't. And they'll say, I'll talk to them, I'll say, hey, how you doing? They'll go, hootie dootie, daddy dootie dootie. And now I'm stuck because I'm like, what? No offense, you know, and it's like watching one of those Japanese movies, you know, it's like, oh my gosh. And then I'll say, I'm sorry, what did you say? And they'll go, doo dee 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 doo dee dee. And now it's getting embarrassing because I have to ask again, I'm sorry, what did you say? And then they'll go, doo dee 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 doo dee 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 dee. And then by the third time, I'm trying to make up what I think they're saying. Because, you know, it's too embarrassing just to keep going, what? 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 And I'll go. And then I can tell by my response if I'm even in the same ballpark. Because I'll go, so you wanted me to show you one of those fishing lures? And I'll go, what? Or it'll be like, what? I said theater and vehicle. Or it's like Miss Paula. Miss Paula does the same thing. She says, like, window seal. And I think of a seal with a ball, you know, on the window. I said, what? She go, on the window seal. What? And then my name, Jim, becomes Jim. Two syllables. And then Lebanon becomes Lebanon. She says, stop, I can't take it. So how many know your hometown has a language that only you understand? I went a long way for that, didn't I? But it's the truth, too. It's the truth. It's like, what in the world? I lost everybody, didn't I? That's funny. Your face hurts, doesn't it? She goes, my face hurts. Man, I'm telling you right now. Tongues is the language of God's hometown. He understands it, and you go, Doody deedy doody doody. Yeah, my boy. Thank you, Aubrey. People ask me too, they'll say, Pastor, you plan that kind of stuff? Are you kidding? How many know I'm not a public speaker, a professional public speaker? No, no. This stuff is off the cuff, people, off the cuff. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. How many of you got kids? How many of you mamas have been home? Remember when your kid was real little? And little, you know, two-year-old, three-year-old, and it's like, you know what I'm talking about? And then you can't wait for your husband to get home so you can have some adult conversation. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? And then he gets home, and you just want a great conversation, and he goes, and you go, how was your day? Wanting something, you know, with three syllables, and he goes, fine. Come on, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. And you're just hungering for some adult conversation, right? Check it out. Might look a little something like this.
Hello, little girly whirlies. How are you doing? Oh, you're so sweet. Are you reading a bookie wookie? Hello, little puppy whoppy whoppy. You're so cutie cutie wootie. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Are you making pancake wing cakes, wing cakes? Oh, I love pancakes. And a little syrup. Oh, that'd be good. And the Mikey Mikey and the Stovey Stovey. Oh, yay. Did you go potty waddy on the big toilet? Did you? Yay, I'm so excited, Whited. And you used the toilet paper.
Man, it's good to be home.
Baby, wavy, I am so glad that you're homey, warmy. Baby, we can go out to eat. Oh, how was your bossy wassy's meeting? Was that good, the meeting that you had with your boss? Was that good, that little meeting? I'm so excited, Ryder, to go to dinner dinner. Maybe we'll have pasta wasta. I'm going to give you the keezy weezy and you can drive the car, Rory. But be careful. Be very, very careful when you drive the car. Chatty Waddy, be very careful. I love you. We're at a restaurant, a big boy restaurant. You can have a steaky winky, like a big T-bone, T-bone. A T-bone steaky winky. And we can eat at the restaurant and have drinking.
Oh, that's awesome. How many know Chad right there is hungering for adult conversation? Isn't that true? Now listen to me very closely. We talk to God in English in prayer, and that's great. He understands that, and he understands it well. But our Heavenly Father also hungers for adult conversation. And when you slip over into other tongues, your Heavenly Father goes, wow, now it's just not this little English thing. I can get into this because this is the language of my hometown. Can you see that clearly? Your Heavenly Father loves it when you talk in English and pray in English. But boy, I tell you what else. He loves it when you talk adult conversation, spirit to spirit. That help anybody? Look at number three. Check it out, our third benefit. You pray the perfect will of God. Don't have time to look at this now. We really don't. You please check these scriptures out for yourself. So powerful. The Bible literally talks about when a lot of times you don't know how you pray as you ought. Romans 27. How many know there's times you just don't know what to pray? Right. Huh? Isn't that true? I mean, I can look at you and you can look at me and I can think, okay, you know, Carolyn needs this and I should pray this for Carolyn. But I could be so far off. I don't know where she's come from, where she's going, what's happening. I don't know what's going on in her life exactly. But the Holy Spirit does. And the Bible says in Romans 8, 26 through 28, that when we pray in the Spirit, the Bible says the Spirit himself takes hold together with us against our infirmities or our weaknesses. And in this case, our weakness is not knowing what to pray. And listen, have you ever wondered what God would pray in any circumstance? When you pray in tongues, that's what God would pray. Is that powerful or what? I got to tell you over and over and over. Well, I mean, you want to know what God would pray? That's what he would pray. When you're praying for another person, it's particularly helpful. And I'm going to tell you right now, every time I've ever made any major decision in my life, how many know you can know the will of God from the Word of God? But how many know when the Word of God is not in black and white, I should go to Chicago or not? Isn't that true? Well, before we moved here and started this church, I prayed in tongues for probably, I don't even really know, 100 hours? Not in a row. But over a period of a couple of years, I prayed in tongues just because I wanted to make sure that I was knowing the will of God. Before we went to two services, every December I go and I rent a hotel room, you know, I get away just me, and I go and spend the day with the Lord, and I'll spend, you know, 10 hours with the Lord. I'll spend 4, 5, 6 hours praying in other tongues about what's coming up for the next year for the church. And should we go to the second service or not? Every major decision that I've ever made in this church of any big length, I prayed in tongues for hours and hours prior to. Because I'm praying the perfect will of God. And eventually, what's in here begins to hit up here. And I know what to do. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over. Man, I pray for people not knowing in my family what to pray for. And just, it's amazing how powerful it is. And you just don't know what to pray. You don't know what's going on. You just know. You get what awakened in the middle of the night. You know, something is wrong. I know something's going on here. And so, man, I'll just pray in the Spirit. And I'll pray in tongues for half an hour or whatever until that something goes away. And I'll just go back to bed. Then I'll hear the next day or something, man, I was going through this awful thing. Did you? And it was right about 3 o'clock. And I was like, man, that's exactly when I was praying. Yeah. What was it? What was happening? The Holy Spirit on the inside of me, also on the inside of that person, was beginning to pray through me the perfect will of God for that person. And then the Bible says in Romans 8:28, and all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to purpose. The most taken out of context scripture in the whole Bible. We quote that over and over and over, but how many have met people that things don't work out together for the good? Just keeps getting worse because it's completely out of context. Please take that scripture in context for once in your life. It is in the context of praying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, over time, things will work out together for your good. I cannot tell you. Yeah, you might as well give the Lord a hand. I cannot tell you how many times things were not working, they were not clicking, they were not fitting, and then I would pray in the Spirit, and I would pray in tongue for half an hour, and all of a sudden, click, 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 and it all works out. Guys, it's a huge benefit. Number four, it reminds us of the indwelling Spirit. How many know we need to be reminded the Holy Spirit lives in there? Number five, it builds you up. Everybody say it builds you up. That word build up in the Greek is oikodomeo, and it means to charge up like a battery. How many know that we need to be charged up? Sometimes we get a little spiritually flat. You know, in our Christian walk, it's but we need to turn over and get cranked up. That's what happens when we pray in tongues. Look at the charge into the battery. Sometimes that's the case. We feel spiritually dead. You pray in tongues. Boom. Battery is charged. You're ready to go. Jude verse 20, 1 Corinthians 14:4. Number six. Builds up your faith for the unknown. Sometimes you just don't know what to pray about. You don't have the answer. Should I move to Chicago or not? Number seven, refreshes you. Oh, I love this. Isaiah 28:11-13. Isaiah prophesied about it. He said, talking about the New Testament believers, he said to these people, I will speak with another tongue. And it will, through this, the rest and the refreshing will come. Isn't that good? Man, sometimes it's just, I don't know what to pray in English. I don't know what to say. I slip over into other tongues and it is so refreshing to me. Again, I plan on going over all the scriptures, just don't have time. Check them out for yourself. Please do. Number eight, you give perfect thanks. How many of you have ever felt like, you know, with the Lord, you know, English just was not adequate enough? Yeah. Man, oh, Lord, I love you. And then I'll just slip over in other tongues and begin to praise him in tongues. And you give, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:15-17, perfect thanks. Isn't that great? Look at number nine. You won't be hung by your tongue. How many know, boy, this thing can get us in trouble? But how many know it's very, very difficult to pray in tongues and gossip at the same time? No such thing as gossip tongues. It's true. How many know that James chapter 3, verse 8 says, the tongue is an unruly member, no man can tame it. And you're right, no man can, but the Holy Spirit can. It's one great way of taming the tongue. And then number 10, it is a doorway to the gifts of the Spirit, Acts 19 and verse 6. And then number 11, most important time to pray in tongues is when you don't feel like it, because it builds you up and charges you up and on and on and on. Does that make sense? Now, number five, check this out. We don't have time for the testimony here, guys. Number five, how do I receive this? Okay, I've been spending 4 weeks on this. how do I receive this? And we're going to take a moment here to pray in just a moment. We're going to take you and pray with you and protect your dignity when we do. How do I receive this? Luke chapter 11, 11 through 13, the Bible is very, very clear. When you ask for the Holy Spirit, that God will give you exactly what you ask for, and you will not get a counterfeit. Very, very clear. The only prerequisite of you being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues is that you are a born-again child of God. That's all. You don't have to have the book of Leviticus memorized. Simply an act of God's grace, and you receive it by faith just like you did the new birth. So how do I receive it? You do it very simple. You receive it by faith. Does that make sense? All you have to do is be born again. If you're a born-again child of God and you want to receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, we're going to give you an opportunity here in just a moment. It's for every believer. I think I showed you that. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. We're not going to pressure you. This is for you and your benefit, and I hope that it helps you tremendously. Now, very quickly, gang, and this is very simple, and I think what I'll do, well, I'll share this with you real briefly. Three differences, three biggest reasons people fail to receive and speak in tongues. Number one, they don't speak. They're waiting for some sort of a thing to happen, you know, some sort of a lightning bolt to hit you and the Holy Spirit to take you over. Listen, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never make you do anything. How many know I can talk to you if I want to, or I can stop if I want? I wanted to stop for a little bit. That's totally within my control. When you pray in tongues, unfortunately, the media and some religious nuts have kind of misportrayed it, that it's just the Holy Spirit grabs you and makes you do something. You'll be in the middle of Kroger's, or you go over to Mike's Auto Body Shop, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will just grab you and make you speak in tongues, and you'll look like a fool. No. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. It is under your complete control. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14 tells us that clearly. It's under your complete control, my control, just like talking and praying in English is. Does that make sense? If you're at Kroger's and you're praying in other tongues and you're praying over the cabbage heads, then don't you tell them you came from this church. Tell them you came from the First Church of the Monkey Head Worshippers, okay? Because that's kooky. So don't get some crazy idea. You don't have to wait, tarry until midnight. There's some kind of a crazy doctrine. Luke 24:49, the Bible says, tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. So there's a doctrine in some Pentecostal circles that you have to tarry for it and wait for it. Well, if you're going to take that, and that's the only scripture that says that, if you're going to take that and make that the thing that says you got to wait for it, then you should have to wait for it in Jerusalem. How many know? I don't got a ticket, man. You know, you don't have to wait for it. You don't have to tarry for it. You can receive it just like that. But they don't speak. The people are waiting on God to take over their mouth, but that's not it. You have to do the speaking. The Holy Spirit will fill you and give you the words, but you got to speak it. And if you don't speak it, it'll stay right in there, just like English. Number two, they don't apply faith. We receive anything from the Lord by faith. And then number three, your understanding is unfruitful. I've seen when people begin to speak in tongues, it's like, I don't get it. My mind doesn't get it. That's exactly right. And your mind will never get it. And you shouldn't even try to have your mind get it, because your mind will be unfruitful. And people get bothered. You know, some people don't get this big flowing language right away. How many know language has to be developed over time? When you were a child, you know, your first couple words were dad and mama hot dog. Isn't that true? I mean, my little son, when he was, well, I don't know, whenever he began to speak, you know, at 3 weeks, whenever he began to speak, you know, he would come and he would be like this. He'd go, dad, dad. And I knew what he meant. I knew he meant for me to pick him up. He didn't have to say, Father, wouldst thou elevate me? I knew what he meant, because he was my son. And when you pray in tongues and you get a few words to begin with, some of you will get a whole bunch. Some of you just get a few. God knows what you mean. You're his kid. Does that make sense? Now, enough talking. We're going to pray with people. And here's what I want to do. I want to, again, as we do always at Joy Church, we want to protect your dignity as a human being. And I don't mean that, you know, you need to be this. I don't mean we want to protect your pride, because we want pride to be eradicated. But we do want to protect dignity. And so I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask in a minute if you're a born again child of God and you do want to receive Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, or if you've prayed to receive the Holy Spirit, never have been released in praying in other tongues, I want you to come forward too. We will then take you over into the youth room here in just a little bit, and we want to pray with you there, because we don't want to make a spectacle of you or your dignity, because we care about you as an individual, and so is God. And we don't want you people going, because that's not right. We need to, this is a private thing between you and the Lord, and a special thing between you and the Lord, and so we don't want gawkers. We want people that are just hungry for the Lord. That makes sense? So I'm going to ask that you just go ahead and bow your head with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now for your word. I thank you, Mark 16 and verse 20, that you would confirm your word with signs following. Satan, I just bind you and your devils. You cannot distort in any way, shape, or form the truth of the word of God, nor can you steal it from these precious people in Jesus' name. I'm not going to make a big deal of it. If you want to be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues, again, we'll take you over here and pray with you separately. Come forward right now. Come on, don't be afraid. Just come on. If you find out that's for you, then come on. That's terrific. Come on, just come on. Excellent, wonderful. I knew there'd be a ton of you. Wonderful. Come on, that's great. I'm so proud of you guys. Doctor, I'm so proud of you. That's so awesome. Come on, just if you can, kind of squeeze in all the way, maybe spread down that way a little bit. Wonderful, beautiful. Terrific. Well, I'm so proud of you guys. This is great. Now, all of you that we've asked to come and be prayer partners, could you, that we can have some prayer partners as well. They're going to help you pray here in just a little bit. You're all my prayer partners. You come on. Wonderful. There's still more people coming. This is fantastic. I'm very proud of you guys. Now, here's what we're going to do.